This episode of Last Exit to Ponyville is brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Go to OffWorldDesigns.com to check out their wide variety of geeky and pop-cultured inspired t-shirts. Offworld Designs carries shirts from a wide variety of artists and themes, from anime to zombies and everything in between. Whether you're a brony, a follower of Great Cthulhu, or just think dragons are awesome, Offworld Designs has you covered. Use coupon code BROHOOF to receive 10% off your order. OffWorldDesigns.com is a proud sponsor of ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Woo!
Greetings out there, my friends in Ponyville. Welcome to the Last Exit of the Ponyville. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, but I'm not alone in across this quest, this walk, this jaunt, this saunter, if you will. I'm joined by a woman whose feet could be considered biological weapons.
Thanks for that. I'm Laura, I guess, stinker feet today. I saw my feet all day.
Let's just say, stay tuned at the end of the show for a very special behind-the-scenes look.
10 hours!
And of course, it would not be Ponyville without the resident ninja slash guitar-playing guy now.
That other guy, whatever.
By God, Jerry, you gotta do that, like, every show. That's, like, the best intro ever. So yes, guys, we are here on ThisWeekInGeek.net, brought to you by OffWorldDesigns.com. Don't forget to use promo code BROHOOF to get 10% off your entire order. That's including international stuff, too, so trust me, that's a bargain. So anyway, guys, on this episode of Ponyville, we're going to be talking about the music that you, the community, have created.
Yay!
I'm super excited for this, because I think this actually made me more of a Brony Pony fan than ever before, really, because as you guys know, if you listen to This Week in Geek and many of my other projects, I dig a lot of unofficial and off-the-record music, stuff like the Proto Men, the Megas, and when I discovered the Living Tombstone late last year, I really started to fall into the pony kind of music scene. So somebody sent us in a suggestion to check this stuff out, and we got a number of emails on this. In fact, I'm just going to pull those up for when we do talk about this, because there's a lot to talk about. So, anyway, I guess let's start with what everybody's been up to. Laura, what have you been up to since the last episode of the show?
Working.
Working a lot?
But my feet smell. That's what. What's that? No, I don't know, just normal. It's early spring. It's too wet and cold out still to actually, like, go out and do anything.
Yeah, I kind of think the winter wrap-up crew kind of got their signals crossed, because it's been nice to complete garbage in terms of weather the last couple weeks.
Today, we had a prediction for Hamilton that it was supposed to be 20 degrees by the afternoon and sunny. So at about noon, I started going for a walk because it had hit about 12 degrees. I was like, okay, by the time I actually get out and, like, go a fair distance, it's going to be nice and warm. It actually started getting colder, and 3 hours later, I was home and go for long walks, yeah. And it was like 5 degrees. I was
and
like,
it was probably windy.
Windy as shit. I was unimpressed. I was not pleased because I had gone out with just a hoodie because it was so nice when I started. Not impressed weather.
Wow, it was actually pretty nice here. All things, it actually got up to 20 today, and it was nice and sunny.
It was, well, when I got out, you know, it was cloudy and it was kind of warm, but when I left work, I was like, what is this? This is first day of spring. This is amazing. And I need a beer. As soon as I got outside of work, it's like, I need a pint of something in my hand. I need to be a patio right now. And so I got home and I said to Steph, it's like, get your fucking pants on. We're gonna go outside, and we're gonna have dinner that has more than two colors in it.
I'm just trying to visualize this. That's amazing. Myself, over the last couple weeks, I've been playing a lot of video games. I actually went back to playing Skyrim, The Elder Scrolls.
Such a good game.
I'm 120 hours in, and this is a new character.
Wow.
I'm level 115 as of this recording.
Oh, fuck that, right?
Oh, yeah. And I'm abusing the shit out of this ability where you can just reset skills whenever they get to 100. So let's just say I'm the coolest blocker that has ever existed in the history of Tamriel. But I'm going through a lot of the DLC that I never got a chance to play. I finished Dawnguard. That was a lot of fun. And I'm going right now through Dragonborn. Laura, do you have any of the expansions on the PS3?
I don't.
I've got codes for you then, after the show. Okay.
I was going to say, from what I heard, like when I was playing it heavily, a lot of the stuff that was coming to the Xbox hadn't come to the PS3 just because the developers, from what I read, had blatantly basically said that their ability to make stuff for the PS3 wasn't as strong as it was for Xbox 360, so it kind of had to be waited on.
Well, after the show, Laura, I will allow you to explore more of the lands of Skyrim, because I know I've got a couple of codes for you.
Yeah, and you know, I honestly haven't played much in the way of video games in a while. I finally finished Mass Effect 2, and that took forever. And I beat it in like an hour because I was that close to finishing it. If I'm playing anything, I'll hop on Guild Wars 2 for a bit. And that's about it for games. I find I've been busy with other things, I guess. Doing a lot of writing. Like, a lot.
Oh, are you still working on that novel that we keep posting?
I'm almost done.
Ooh.
Is this the...
almost done. I got probably about novel? Probably about 1,000 words left to do. I almost finished it this morning, and then I went, shit, I gotta go to work! Because I do a lot of my writing in the morning, so hopefully I can have the first draft finished by the end of the week. Really exciting.
Is this going to be the next 50 Shades of Grey or Twilight series?
Oh, Christ, I hope not.
I hope it will be considered at least better written.
I hope so. See, I'm willing to get behind that. And I guess maybe that's what we should do for our next show is to check out the fan fiction, because I know we've talked a lot about that.
I've written some more fan fiction. It's fun.
Well, that'll be next show. But for this show, we're going to talk about the music, but we got to shut the hell up for just a moment here and listen to our good friend Cyril Velocity over at Equestria Daily. We'll be back, guys, right after this.
I'm liking this idea.
It's April 14th, 2013. I'm Cyril Velocity, a man that you would not want to meet in a Lego factory. Series 2 trading cards are out in the wild. They're appearing at Walmarts and Hot Topics. Bunch of new ponies to collect. We got a Derpy in there, although she doesn't have her name on there. Kind of a blank nameplate. Not sure what's up with that. Huffington Post article recently is highlighting a UK investigation into free kids games with microtransactions. I'm sure we're all aware of kids games that you can get for free that allow you to spend enormous amounts of money to progress through the game if you don't want to actually play it. This is relevant because Gameloft's My Little Pony game was pointed directly at when asked for an example. Last but not least, a Friendship is Magic guidebook is hitting Amazon on sale right now for $11, $17 regular. Has a street date of June 4th, has 256 pages, and is not rated for 4 and under, is rather rated 11 through 15-ish. Pretty cool. We've even had one of the writers on Twitter say that they've put some words into this guidebook. It's probably worth picking up when it comes out. And that's all she wrote. Cyril Velocity signing off.
I know! It's gonna be so awesome!
Welcome back, everybody! This is Ponyville, and I'm your host, Trevor, that other guy, and that was our friend, Cyril Velocity. Now, children, we're going to talk about ponies.
Sorry. What was that?
That was my...
That was awesome!
That was like my Reading Rainbow...
Don't change a thing. Don't change a thing.
Sunday school thing. Anyway, of course, big thanks to our friend, Cyril Velocity at Equestria Daily, for always bringing us
I'm excited about new cards.
Are you?
I do.
How excited are you?
I like cards. I like collecting them. Anything where it's basically you don't know what you're going to get, and like when you open it until you open it, I have to have them all. I can't stop. I love it.
So, I know, because I saw your recent post about these Tokidoki. You bought like 18.
Well, if anybody has knows Tokidoki, there it's a vinyl, like it's a collectible, like fashion, like everything sort of designer toy stuff. And they have a new series of unicornos out. So if you like ponies, you'd probably really like the unicornos. And they're designer unicorns. And I only wanted a couple out of the line, like theoretically. And there was one that was like, her name's Sakura, and she's got a cherry blossom design, and her hair is done up like a gecko, and I love that kind of stuff. And I was like, okay, this is a common one. I'm going to get it, no problem. I got like 18 of the same guy. I have store credit at work, and I spent like a fifth of my store credit, which is a lot of money, trying to get thankfully people have traded me, and like, because I think I have like a monopoly on the one pony I got all the like 18 of.
So anyway. you should destroy those 17.
No, I'm trading them. Trading them for other unicornos that I don't have.
So you may have problems with addiction when it comes to these sorts of things.
A little bit. That's why I'm actually pretty good with impulse control. So the addiction and the impulse control seem to even themselves out in the wash.
See, now, I am so not good with impulse control. As evidenced the last time you saw me, when I just walked through your store and I'm like, I want this, 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 that, and that. Why? I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
But see, if I was doing the card thing, I would just go on eBay if I'm looking for a specific one. But then again, I know I'm going to pay a premium. And I kind of like the thrill of the hunt, too, looking for cards. I used to collect Ghostbuster stuff in cards. And I used to do, play a collectible card game. I'm pretty sure nobody here remembers. Does anybody remember Marvel Overpower?
No.
No.
I'm so old.
It's like, have you seen that movie Tron? No, no.
I don't know if you're old. I never heard that.
Yeah, it was like a Marvel card fighting game, and then DC got it and then changed the rules up. So if anybody knows what the fuck I'm talking about, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. Make me feel not old. Another thing that Cyril mentioned in there, this is more kind of my realm of specialty, that UK investigating microtransactions, because the Game Loft My Little Pony is a prime example of this. I mean, sure, you can spend the time grinding to get the extra jewels, you get unlocked characters like Rainbow Dash and Rarity, etc., etc. But people like me, here's money, I just want the cool thing. I can see why they're looking at stuff like this, but I guess because it's a kid's game, I can see why they might be a little bit pissy, because you still need a credit card, or I think maybe a PayPal account.
Yeah,
to do this kind of thing.
There's been a few rulings now about, like, people getting their money back when they claim their kids are the one who downloaded $1,000 worth of apps onto their phone. It's like, like, my phone is set up in such a way that, like, because I swore when I got my phone, I wouldn't spend any extra money on anything besides the phone. I haven't spent a dime on additional apps for
really?
It. Not wow. A dime.
Like, you should see my credit card bill. It's a sad telling tale.
But no, like, because so far there hasn't been anything I need on my phone that I can't get for free. And the microtransactions, same thing. So I actually have my phone set up that if I want to buy something, in case somehow accidentally, like, it's something you have to put in, like, you have to do, I haven't had to, like, use it, but I think I can put in a password if I actually go to, like, so I can't just automatically, like, no, click,
it's,
click.
Yeah, there's always a password every time you buy something, like, through the iPhone.
Yeah, so I can't just, like, okay, hit buy, and, you know, there it is.
Yeah.
So it's set up so I don't have to worry about that, because honestly, I would, my other thing is, with these games, at max, I get about 30 days use out of them.
That's so true, yeah.
Like, why am I going to spend $100 getting the best stuff when in 30 days I'm going to be playing something else?
See, when it comes to microtransactions, and a really good example of this for me is I spent untold amount of money on Mass Effect 3's multiplayer. Like, basically, because you'd buy, quote-unquote, a booster pack for maybe about $1.50, give or take, 160 Microsoft points. Or 240 when things got more expensive later on for the premium pack. So I would equate it to buying Magic cards, would probably be about the closest thing. And I must have spent well over $200-$300. Mind you, I'm the best equipped probably in that game's history, though I'm only missing 3 of the Uber weapons at the highest level. So that should give you a hint on how much I've spent. Thank you, Microsoft, for giving me some of these points for free. The advantage of being a games journalist. But yeah, I mean, I could see kids totally racking up their parents' credit cards on this. But if that's the case, why is the credit card information stored on the mobile device to begin with?
Oh, exactly.
Well, I think it just shouldn't be a one-click purchase, like in-app. I think maybe there's possibility of being a one-click purchase. That shouldn't be. But speaking of microtransactions and bringing it, you know, bringing ponies back into this, you know, I played the iPad game, the Ponyville game, and you can buy gems in order to get more characters and all this kind of other stuff. But in some cases, you need gems in order to complete quests. And the gems are, like, retardedly expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe it. Because I've actually, in some apps, bought some, you know, money, air quotes money, to help me do things. Because it was, like, nothing. It was, like, $1 for a 500,000 in-game money that went a long way. But in the Ponyville game, if you wanted to buy Princess Celestia, I did the math, you would have had to spend 55 real dollars.
Jeevers! No
just
way.
To get enough gems to buy Princess Celestia.
That's terrible.
She was 950 gems, and to get like 100 gems, it was like $10 or something.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, That's absolutely ridiculous.
It's actually one of the reasons why I stopped playing the game is because it also required me to get gems to complete some of the quests. And I was just like, this is really, really ridiculous.
That's kind of a kick in the dick, to be honest with you.
It's right in the tip.
$55 for a little graphic of a Celestia in a game you'll play for like 30 days.
Yeah, because that's my main thing. There's not a single one of these app games where I've played it ongoing. The only thing I might, don't get me wrong, microtransactions I think is a good way to support games, whereas like with the whole used market and da 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 da, I don't think microtransactions are a bad thing. I just think if you're going to spend money on microtransactions, don't do it willy nilly because it's only a buck here, a buck there. Because like Dodd said, credit card bill comes around, and next thing you know, you spent $500 or whatever on $1 here, $1 there, and like those can add up fast. So just use a little bit of impulse control and only spend on something. I would never recommend someone, I've had this app for a day, let me spend $50. If you've been playing the same app for 6 months, maybe a good idea to maybe spend a little bit of money to get a little bit farther.
Also, why are the ponies so expensive?
I know, yeah. I'm sorry.
$55, that's insane. I mean, man, I can't even think of any gun I've spent that much to get in Mass Effect. I mean, sure, I mean, I dropped maybe 20 bucks here, 20 bucks there. But I'm also buying Rock Band songs and everything else as well. But just that seems like a lot for a little graphic. Moving on to the last thing Cyril mentioned. There's going to be a new book. It's up for pre-order now on Amazon. It's like a guidebook to My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. And it's not meant for little kids, surprisingly enough. It's meant for 11 to 15. I'm kind of interested. I just don't know what it's going to entail. Because unfortunately, prior to this recording, I didn't get a chance to look it up on Amazon.
I have a feeling the content won't be more mature, just probably more text and smaller letters.
Yeah.
I would love for someone to write like an academic book on ponies. And the reason I say this is because a big book series that I'm a big fan of, it's called Pop Culture and Philosophy. And if you remember, I think it was like our third episode where we looked at more characters, looking more in depth into them as people and, you know, seeing if maybe they suffer from some mental issues. I would love to see someone look at the philosophies that are hidden within ponies. And this might be a show we probably do closer to the summer, because it's not something you can just breeze through in a weekend. This is something you really got to take a look at certain episodes to see if they follow certain philosophies. Do they follow Plato and the cave? Do they follow some other theories? I mean,
Hobbes versus Locke! Hobbes versus Locke! Woo!
I'm going to have to pull out textbooks.
Calvinism!
But it's something that we're definitely going to have to take a little bit more of a closer look at. Now, we're gonna take another small break here on the show, and we're going to take a listen to the call-in that we got for our call-in question. Then we'll respond to our voicemail, we'll respond to the emails that we got. We actually got a couple of different ones for this. So we'll be back, guys, right after this. And, here are the call-ins that came from you, the community.
Hi, your phone is ringing. Are you going to answer it? Because if you don't answer it soon, I'm going to get kind of annoyed.
Responding to the last exit in Ponyville question, Jesus, there are a lot of music, and tons of it is just really fantastic, and it's the majority of what I listen to now. But if I had to choose one artist or one song, Replacer. Like, Replacer, Replacer, Replacer. He's a fantastic sound, and he's so great.
Hey, Mike, Laura, and Trevor. It's Ken Reels, also known as the Snorlax Shaman. And I'm calling in for Last Exit to Ponyville. And you guys asked, what's your favorite show music or anything pony related music wise. And probably one of my favorites has to go to the shed.mov song. It's sick and twisted, and I'm okay with that. I'm pretty sick and twisted myself, so can't really complain. So some of the other music that I enjoy from the fandom definitely has to go with Joe Flaloaf's, any of his work, and Mysterious Brony, who came out with probably one of my favorite songs of last month, a song called Get Down With The Ponies. And if you know metal music, you probably guess what it's based off of. And oh my gosh, is it hilarious. I literally showed it to one of my friends, and as soon as the lyrics started, he just cracked up. It was just hilarious to hear him just keep on laughing his ass off. It was definitely an experience, and definitely something you guys should check out when you get the chance. But that's about it for me, guys. So I'll call you guys maybe next time. So bye.
Drop this call like a bass.
Welcome back to the Last Exit to Ponyville. Hit it. That's right. We are back. Thank you to our pair of people that called in, Ken Lutz, and I didn't get the name of the other gentleman. I'm sorry. But yeah, we actually got a lot of emails on this. We actually had one from David Dennis, who's one of our co-producers on This Week in Geek. He does Movie Madness. That's released every Sunday. Check that out. And I just find this one kind of funny. Subject line, holy shit.
Nice.
I opened up my email today, and it was nothing but feedback. Nothing for me, or pertaining to me, but just 800,000 emails about Last Exit to fucking Ponyville. Could you guys be a little more popular, please? My podcast isn't overshadowed enough. Jeebus. Sincerely, Double D. Yes, I want you to read this on the show. PPPS. Listen to Movie Madness every Sunday on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Ever the showman, I think I finally taught him enough to be the shilly showman. So I'm very glad that we got this. So this first email comes, or sorry, this second email rather, comes to us from Ellis, and they say, I personally like a lot of the 8-bit versions of most of the show's songs. Other than that, I listen to whatever comes from The Wooden Toaster, Tombstone, and the less known Little Deuce Deuce. Love the show. Stay awesome. And that's from Wingtail. So thank you very much for that. I didn't know there were 8-bit versions of this, actually. Another one comes to us from Leah. Hey, hello there. I was wondering if you could have any of the unique foods that have appeared on the show, which would it be? And that's from Megabyte Stream. That's a good goddamn question, actually.
So I could eat gemstones and not die, because that sounds like it would be delicious.
Anything from Pinkie Pie's little cupcake shop that would not make my diabetes worse would be awesome. I forget. There was one episode where they had Apple Bloom cooking because she was trying to do, like, her cutie mark thing. And she made a really weird combination. I think I remember looking over at Blair saying, you know what? It didn't sound that bad, actually. But I'm the same guy who's tried peanut butter on pizza with ice cream because the Ninja Turtles did it.
Dude, there's a whole blog dedicated to that.
Yeah, don't ever do it. It's a terrible, terrible idea. I've learned the hard way. I think we got one more. Yep, we got one more. That's from Tetrius, or Tertrius. I'm sorry, I'm probably fucking your name up real bad. Hello, Last Exit to Ponyville. In regards to the question, what is your favorite pony-related music you've heard online or on the show itself. I have to admit that it's incredibly hard to pick a single one. The show and the fandom together have produced literally hundreds of songs worth listening to and dozens worth lauding and praising. However, if I had to pick a single fan creation to showcase the incredible talent the show has inspired, I think my top choice would be Pony Phonics' Lullaby for a Princess. It's just a wonderful, heartfelt song, and the fact that it manages to capture and convey an emotional story as well definitely earns a top spot on my list. Link is embedded. I will post this in the show link as well as something else. As for the show music, again, it's hard to pick a single one out of all the brilliant songs available. The area from A Canterlot Wedding is still one of my favorite pieces in the series. I doubt there's a fan out there that couldn't do a verse or two from Winter Wrap-Up. However, I think perhaps the song that does the best justice in making my day better every time I hear it would be Pinkie Pie's Smile Song. It's just delightful to hear and never fails to cheer me up. Regards, name I can't quite pronounce. I'm going to call you Tetris. And I got to agree, once Laura kind of turned me on to the Smile Song,
it's like the best song ever, bro.
It never fails to cheer me up, especially if you look at some of the really creative videos that are done with it. There's one that I love especially, and it's that topography stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just Pinkie Pie dancing across the screen, and the words are bouncing around her. And I don't know, it's just incredibly well done. And I think it's done to the Living Tombstones mix of the song. I think I've seen one that does that as well. But, I guess let's kind of get into our topic today of pony music. This is something I never would have expected to come out of a kid's show. And because the Brony fandom is unlike anything I've ever experienced in terms of, like, say, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who, for example, to have music come out of it. And I know there's some Doctor Who bands out there. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird. There's even some Star Trek bands. The most well-known, I think, is Warp 11. I highly suggest you check out the song Jerk My Kirk. So classy. But when I first... My first real pony song that I heard that was independent of anything else was the Living Tombstones Discord. And that's the one you see played very prominently in the Brony documentary, which came out earlier this year, or late last year, depending on how you want to look at it. And it just really kind of captured me. And then I started looking for more people, and that's when I reached out to the guy who does our theme song for the show. I asked him, hey, can I use your music for this podcast? And that was Alex S. Mm-hmm. And he said, yeah, go ahead. Do whatever you got to do. Just have fun with it. And I'm like, that's fucking awesome, because it turns out he's done some really, really good pieces. In fact, some of my favorite pieces that we've actually played here on the show. So that's kind of my experiences with it. And in terms of music from the actual show itself, I really like Winter Wrap-Up as a song. I'm trying to think of other ones off the top of my head. Smile Song, obviously. But I like a lot of the incidental music that you hear just played during the show, because I know the guy who does it, his first name is Dan, I want to say. But yeah, I'm really hoping Hasbro takes the time to release a soundtrack for the show, because I think there's definitely enough interest that people would buy it. Or maybe Shout Factory, when they produce the DVDs, would take the time to have just shows play out with just music and take the kind of dialogue out of it to see how it goes, because I know certain things will, here's an isolated score, so to speak. So that's my little spiel on it. Laura, let's go with you.
Wait, what's the question? No, sorry, you really left that open-ended.
It's our whole topic.
Yeah.
No, sure. It's honestly, like, I find there's a lot of, like, deep discussion on, like, music from the show and just other, like, music. Like, I like it because I like it. I mean, there's no, like, deeper meaning for any of it. I really think the people creating the music are exceptionally talented, and I really like listening to it. There's no, like, anything beyond that. There hasn't been much in the way of music that I haven't enjoyed. I mean, everybody does a really good job. I really don't think, for me, like, unless I've always been like that with music, and Mike always looks at me like when I'm crazy when I mention this, but I don't know if I've told either of you guys this, but I have some forms of synesthesia.
What does that
mean? Basically means music kind of has colors, and don't make it like, don't think that it is actually, I keep bumping Trevor's mic. It's more common than people think, and the music one's actually pretty common. It's suggested that about 23% of the population has some form of it. Like, another thing that in my brain, it interprets time, like months and days, in different patterns. And everybody thinks I'm weird. And
you don't like ketchup.
No, that's different.
That's just witchcraft.
No, that's an aversion. I'm crazy. I'm like Amanda Bynes crazy.
Right.
She's crazy. I started like looking into what she... Anyway, doesn't matter. But the pony songs are... Because I've heard some of them before. I'd seen even the episodes, because they're all over, like, you know, YouTube suggest videos. And so I listen to music. And for me, I think that's a big part of why music for me has never been... like this deeper for the most part. Mm-hmm. Like, I can study the history of it and everything. But for me, music's often, it's like, well, I already know what it is. It's yellow.
Mm.
This song's very blue. I mean, it's like trying to describe the color red to somebody, or the color, like trying to describe what green is to somebody who's never seen before, has no idea what color is. Like, how would you describe a color to someone, right? It's kind of like that, because I can't really explain it. It's just... The Smile song is pink and yellow. It just is. Winter Wrap Up is a very, very bright shade of blue.
Right, as I would think. Yeah, I was going to say blue. But now, a question for you, scientifically speaking, do you actually see these colors?
It's very bizarre.
Or is it internal?
It's kind of. It
like,
doesn't,
do you
it's
see
like
color
it,
waves in your eyes, or is it just internally?
It doesn't.
You know what it is?
It is kind of like, it's not like I'm seeing things swirling in front of my eyes, but if I like, I guess almost concentrate on it, it takes on a visualization of sorts. But like, I'll listen to music and just be like, yeah, I like this. It's very, you know, purple. Purple is a very rare color. Very few songs are purple.
Oh, really? So is there
blue's the most common?
Blue's the most common. No. So do you like blue?
I like blue, but my favorite songs generally aren't blue.
No?
No. And music where the singers are on drugs, like the very colorful, like a lot of later Beatles is very colorful, a lot of Pixies music is very colorful.
I find this fascinating.
I know, it's but it's actually really common. But for me, like I said, music has never taken on, for the most part, much of like a well, that I'm tone deaf too. That's another weird.
For some reason, I always thought, Laura, you were tremendously musically talented. For some reason, I always thought this.
That's not tone deaf. If you were tone deaf, you wouldn't know whether your car was turned on or not. That's
just deaf.
No. One line is like, if you didn't know what tone deaf, you wouldn't know if somebody you're talking to is angry or happy, because you wouldn't be able to interpret frequency. Deaf is just an excuse. What you are, Laura, is you can't sing.
No, I'm also really bad with any sorts of tunes.
Then you just don't have musical capabilities.
Not at all.
But you hear as everyone else hears.
Yeah. No, obviously I don't, because I see colors.
Okay,
that's amazing.
No, it actually is, like, honestly, a lot of people, but I didn't realize that not everybody did that. Because one day I'm like in the car with some friends and I'm like, man, you know what? It's really cool that this song is such a cool shade of yellow. And they're like,
What?
Like,
you're weird.
You don't.
You don't sorcerer.
Think so? At one point, I actually had, back when Windows Media Player was, you know, the thing, and not iTunes, I actually had on my music core categorized by color.
Wow.
That's.
I didn't have a lot of music.
That's kind of neat, actually. Yeah. See, Laura, I would be very curious to be in your shoes to listen to film scores. Because that's something I really dig, is a lot of music, like stuff like Jurassic Park, Star Wars, basically a lot of John Williams-esque stuff. I'd love to know what you feel with that stuff.
Music. It's
drop
sound.
Some ecstasy and go to a rave. That must be something.
That would be awesome.
Like, that's the other thing. It's not just music, right? It's like, if I'm, because most of the time it's just sounds around you and you don't really like pay attention to
so
it.
So what color is this?
White.
Oh.
It's white noise.
White noise.
People's voices have different colors.
Yeah?
What color is mine?
Very curious. Kind of like a rich berry.
Cool.
Yeah, it's...
I'm a crunch berry, motherfucker.
Yeah, it's very... Anyway, so that's like a thing, and it just is. It's hard to describe. So, but like I said, the pony music, the one thing that really stands out to me about the pony music is how bright the colors are.
Wow.
Colors aren't often that actually like vibrant, but they're like heavily saturated when it comes to the pony music.
Yeah, you know, that's something I can definitely see, because there's very few pony music I could say that would ever really bring you down. And I can't think of a show that's had a lot of music in it in terms for children that has been this well composed. Mm-hmm. Or basically, it really evokes emotion. Like some music you hear in shows, you know what to expect. With this stuff, I find you really don't. It's just, I don't know, it's like a new creature when every song comes out. I think some of the strongest music in the series is probably in the first two seasons. I find season three didn't have a whole lot except for like the last episode. All things considered, I think.
But the first song of season three was kind of a letdown. That was like the one song where I wasn't super keen on.
Yeah. Trevor, what about you, my friend?
Well, that's going to be hard to follow up.
I'm sorry, I'm crazy.
I like the music that has the happy song. So,
but yeah, Smile Song is my favorite, though.
Yeah, it's hard to follow up you and just go, I like winter wrap-up. but yeah, that's true. Okay, so in we'll just kind of, we've talked about like our favorite in-show music before in previous podcasts. Like, definitely my main one is winter wrap-up. I like some of the songs from the very last episode of season three quite a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, what my destiny is telling me, mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. But I specifically want to talk about the fan music, because I am a huge fan of DJ Alex S., our resident title music provider.
Composer?
I think he was actually one of the first fan pony music I actually came across. I think actually Mike...
That's the thing. You know what?
Played it for me, because you showed it to Mike, and Mike's like, hey, it's pretty good.
That's the thing. Mike is my boyfriend slash partner slash common law husband, whatever we are at this point. Government recognizes us common law now. Married. Anyway, he's never really gotten into the show. He'll watch it with me for sure, but he doesn't go out of his way to watch it. But he listens to the music, and he really enjoys the fan-made music. Yeah, he thinks like, it's
this
wonderful.
Is a sick drop.
Yeah. No. Well, he doesn't say drops.
No,
and
he
stuff.
Does. He's totally like that. He's like, this is a sick drop, man.
Yeah, that's not how anyone I would be with talks.
But anyway, I think going back to it, like, I'm definitely a huge fan of Living Tombstone as well. Probably my favorite remix is actually done by Living Tombstone, which is the Winter Wrap-Up remix. Is amazing.
I'm surprised.
It's amazing. But as in terms of like a complete anthology of music that I enjoy, I got to go with Alex S. I think he's just got a really great... he's just insanely talented, and I hate him for it because I wish I could do this stuff. I don't understand it and it scares me. But... I love the title song that we hear, the Ponyville remix. My favorite one of his is Luna,
because
that is a remix from Eurobeat. Like, a lot of these songs I know are like a remix is a remix is a remix, and sometimes who the original like writer is gets a little convoluted when you get. But his remix of that song is just sick. Like, that drop is just nuts, and. Yeah, so big ups to Alex S., Living Tombstone, Eurobeat Pony, and there's definitely a few others. I can't think of the top of my head, but if you go on YouTube and you do, there's this great playlist that somebody made. It's got 50 Brony-made songs and remixes that are all fantastic, and I recommend if you find yourself a couple hours in front of the computer, go on YouTube, search for... Alex S. or Living Tombstone, and you'll see it in the top right corner. It'll say playlist. Give that a whirl, and you'll be able to discover new songs, which I have recently. So yeah, it just staggers me how friggin' talented these people are, and
Yeah, the music is just really good. Like, I personally have just really kind of gotten into dubstep in the past few years. And I don't like techno music. I never have. Never liked jungle. But for some reason, there's something about dubstep. It's mathematical formula of dubstep that just does something to me. And I love it.
See, I think...
Add ponies to that.
I think that's why I think I like the pony dubstep. But then I like actual dubstep because most dubstep is really
fucking garbage.
Well, actually,
the front door.
It's actually like really, really black and white and plain and mostly black.
I was gonna ask you, what color is it? Yeah,
a lot of it. Anything I've heard, it really comes out like really like jet inky black, and I don't like that because it scares me. But the pony, when you mix in the pony stuff and the brightness of that, it actually is kind of cool. So I mean, shut up.
No, that's the coolest thing. You're,
like I said, it's really actually more common than people think, but it's just, it's one of those things where you wouldn't know whether it's just you or what until you go, this song's nice and pink to me. And people go, what is wrong with you? And that's when, you know.
Have you ever thought, like, to yourself when you're alone, it's like, maybe I'm colorblind and don't know it.
No, but
maybe
actually...
Maybe this isn't red.
No, that, where it's like... Do I see red like other people see red?
Exactly, yes.
But that being said, if I have a son, they have a very high chance of being colorblind.
Fun times.
Three of my uncles on my mom's side are colorblind.
You'll have to spend your life dressing them.
If it's a boy, you probably have to do that anyway.
Yay.
Ah! I'm hilarious.
There was one playlist I found that really showed me a lot. And what this is, it was the top 25 community voted Brony songs of 2012, kind of giving me a sampling of everything. I was surprised how often the Living Tombstone popped up on there. But there was something somebody did, and I wish I'd taken more time this weekend to look into it. Someone wrote a My Little Pony musical. And there's a song on there called Lyra's Song by Awkward Marina or Mariana. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. And it was just incredibly damn well done. And I got to thinking, you could really have some fun with this if you wanted to do a My Little Pony musical. Because like this past weekend, I saw Young Frankenstein in Toronto. If any of our listeners are in Toronto, go to the Al Green Theater. It's a corner of Spadina and Bloor. You will not regret it. It is one of the most amazing musicals I've seen, and one of my friends is in it, Brandon Chambers. But anyway, moving on. Another one that I was surprised really kind of stuck out to me in terms of getting me into electronic music again was one called Boring by Assertive Fluttershy. That really kind of caught my attention. And another one by Alex S. called Ultimate Sweetie Belle. I really, really dig. There's just a line, and it was taken out of an episode where she's trying to get Big Mac and Cher Lee together. And I remember this sound clip specifically. She's trying to get them to kiss or something, and she just pops out of a bush and goes, "Come on!" And I really want someone to make that for me as my text alert tone at some point. But yeah, there's just some reason that song really kind of stands out to me. And I think a lot of the pony musicians, especially when it comes to dubstep and electronic music, there seems to be a lot more heart into it. Because this past weekend, I got my first experience to a Skrillex song, which I would call Audio Diarrhea. I then heard Something That Much Better by the artist, and kind of changed my mind on him. But when I hear some of the other dubstep artists I've heard...
Do you know that Skrillex used to be in one of those, like, pop emo bands from, like, 2005?
It doesn't fucking surprise me.
My sister used to have a crush on him.
That's fucked. And
she's like, what the fuck?
But there's just something about... I think a lot of the pony-made music, there just seems to be a lot more love and heart coming out of it, because there's some legitimate love ballads coming out of it, or stuff that really tells a story. Like I said, there was that one song mentioned about Lullaby for a Princess. Read the lyrics to that song, and it's incredibly well done. And there's some kind of slower stuff. I've even heard some My Little Pony rap as well. In fact, I'd love to hear someone like, say, Dan Bull take it on at some point, or maybe... Man, I should just pay Mega Ran to do My Little Pony songs. I guarantee his popularity would already jump through the roof for that one. But I want to talk a little bit more about... I don't know. I'm trying to think, where do we go from here on this? Because
I think we should have an acoustic rendition of one of the pony songs.
Yes, absolutely. So, Trevor, without any further ado, let's let you play. I'm going to turn down my microphone.
Perfect.
And when you're done, I'll turn it on. But here, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever, at least on this podcast, Trevor, that other guy, and his awesome rendition of Winter Wrap-Up.
Woo! Okay.
Thank you. Woo! Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'll do my best.
If you don't, you're fired.
Okay.
3 months of winter coolness and awesome holidays. We kept our hooves warm at home. Time off from work to play. But the food we stored is running out. And we can't grow in this cold. No, no. And even though I love my boots, this fashion's getting old.
Sound kind of sound like Meatloaf there.
The time has come to welcome spring and all things warm and green. And it's also time to say goodbye. It's winter, we must clean. How can I help but do you see? What does every pony do? How do I fit in without magic? I haven't got a clue. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Let's finish our holiday cheer. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Winter wrap up, cause tomorrow spring is here. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Bringing home the southern birds. Pegasus job begins and clearing all the gloomy skies. Let the sun shine in. We move the clouds and we melt the white snow. When the sun comes up, its warmth and beauty will glow. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Let's finish our holiday cheer. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Winter wrap up. Critters hibernate under the snow and ice. We wake up all the sleepy heads so quietly and nice. We help them gather up their food, fix a home for Loa. Welcome back southern birds so the families can grow. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Let's finish our holiday cheer. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Cause tomorrow spring is here. No, is it task to clear the ground, plant our tiny seeds with proper care and sunshine. Everyone it feeds. Apples, carrots, celery stalks, colorful flowers too. We have just so very hard. It's just so much to do. Wow! Winter wrap up, winter wrap up. Let's finish our holiday cheer. Winter wrap up, cause tomorrow spring is here. Winter wrap up, cause tomorrow spring is here. Cause tomorrow spring is here. Now that I know what they all do, I have to find my place and help with all of my heart. Daft desk ahead I face. How will I do without my magic? Help the earth pony. Spring.
is amazing, dude.
That's hard. That's sung by women doing pony voices. So
even my wife is clapping in the other room.
Yay!
That's amazing, Trevor. You know what? There, we can't top that. Honestly, that has to be the note this show goes out on.
Okay.
Yay!
But like, yes,
buddy, Mike, take us out.
All right, guys. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode of Last Six of the Pony. Once again, brought to you by offworlddesigns.com. Use promo code BROHOOF for 10% off. We have no Ponyville gift shop this week, but I am on the lookout for the Build-A-Bear My Little Ponies. Hopefully I'll pick one up in just a few weeks. So we'll be back again in 2 weeks' time to talk about another pony-related topic. But for Last Six Exit the Ponyville, we have been...
Laura!
That other guy, Trevor!
Trevor, play me out. I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, friendship really is magic.
Yay!
You've been listening to ThisWeekinGeek.net's Last Exit to Ponyville. We want you to help make the show at least 20% cooler by your getting involved. Call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202 or email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net, subject line Ponyville. We also have our official Facebook, which is facebook.com/lastexittoponyville. Subscribe to us through iTunes or any podcatcher. Thanks for listening to us and keep it locked to EquestriaDaily.com and ThisWeekInGeek.net. And until next show, remember, friendship is magic.
We go to the cat stink?
I live in cat stink.
Open it, yes, open it farther.
Can't hear myself. I can't hear the guitar.
Do you want to switch show? You can.
You can't hear yourself.
I can't hear the guitar now. Oh, okay.
I said it was overpowering you.
I can't hear it in the monitor, but if Doc can pick it up in the recording, that'll be fine.
Well, those are like noise-canceling headphones. What if you listen like that?
No,
what
I should be able to hear it. Like...
Oh, I just realized it might not be cat food that you smell.
What the hell else could it possibly be?
Do you want to smell my foot?
I don't know, because I remember that story Mike told about where he's like, nah, baby, you don't want to smell my
feet. Well, don't get that close.
Laura, if your foot smells worse than cat shit, consult a doctor.
God! See? Did you step in cat shit? That's fucking feet!
Oh, that's retail feet. Nah.
I was on my feet for 10 hours today. In closed-toed shoes. That's why when I can wear flip-flops, I do. Because I have stinky feet. Because I have an efficient cooling system of sweat.
I hope you're recording that, Mike.
You damn right I am.
Don't even care. I embrace it.
Okay. You got-